It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
High and inside. Auction music. A little chin music. Take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Alf. How about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, Inside the Clubhouse comes in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
We cannot compare the team of the last year with this year. No way. They lose 120 games, whatever they lose. To me, we got the worst management in the history of White Sox baseball, not because he lost 120. Everybody looked like 200 plus. This is what he was saying. Pedro, he was tricking everybody. Oh, look at this. We work on it. We're doing this. We're doing that. When he was lying to everyone.
As the saying goes, watch your lips. That was Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Haw every Wednesday. Ozzie is there to cover the White Sox. And Jets Richards, Bruce Levine back here with you inside the clubhouse. Bruce, that was quite the... You felt like Ozzie wanted to get that off his chest with what he said about Pedro Grifol.
Well, you know, the prelude to that, you know, Mully and Hall were talking about with Ozzie is, you know, is this team, and you were going in that direction before we hit the break, is this team, you know, any better than it was last year? Is this a more watchable team? Does this deserve more of your time if you're a White Sox fan? Can you feel good about the White Sox moving forward? So to paint with a broad brush right now and say that the White Sox record isn't better, therefore they're not watchable, I don't know if that's true. I think the White Sox are going to be a much more watchable team this year. Are they going to be better? Are there going to be pains watching some of these young players who have a future get there? Some guys that should be still probably at AAA that are playing in the big leagues. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of pain. The White Sox front office and the team and the good people to work around, they're going to have to wear it again for most of 2025 because they don't have finished products out there.
No.
What they do have is, in some instances, better young pitching. So they've been able to stay in games. Up until these last two games, Judson, the White Sox were second in baseball in giving up the fewest amount of runs, okay? It kind of caved in on them the last two. They've given up 20 runs. But the reality of can the pitching staff be better? Is this a more watchable team? That's not for me to tell you. That's for White Sox fans to decide. But I will tell you this. You know, Ozzie going off on Pedro Grifol, whether Ozzie is right or not, and, you know, Grifol was a bad manager for that team, I don't know any manager that was going to make them a lot better than they were last year, okay? If Ozzie was managing that team, Judson, how many games better was that team going to be?
It may have been worse because Ozzie may have erupted. He may have imploded internally.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would be worse because Ozzy's an outstanding baseball man.
I don't know if he could have taken it.
No, what I'm saying is Ozzy's a terrific baseball man. So the culture would have been better, okay? The culture is getting better with Will Venable. But White Sox fans, I'm thinking, aren't going to live with that for a whole season without holding people accountable, okay? People, Will and everybody else, will still have to be accountable and talk about some of those aches and pains and the problems that people are having along the way as the season goes on. You just cannot, you know, blanket say we're trying to get better. We're going to have to hear how they're trying to get better and what they're going to do. Last night I reported that Mike Clevenger has accepted a minor league assignment from the White Sox after being DFA'd last week. He's going to go down there and now get stretched out again as a starting pitcher. Why are the White Sox doing this? Because they're going to continue to need arms, right, to get through a baseball season. Will the bullpen develop? Is it getting any better? Are we seeing a Leisure getting better in the bullpen out there? Are we seeing, you know, guys that can do setup and closing? Is that happening for the White Sox? So there's an awful lot going on there. The guys like Kiro coming up and catching, guys hopefully like some of their other young prospects coming up. We saw Madroth called up last week.
Yeah, and maybe so Kyle Teal down the road.
There's a lot of positives about good young players coming to the big leagues. Are they ready? In most cases, we're going to find out maybe not. They're going to have to go through some really trials and tribulations. They look good one game, that's not going to be an indication that they have this figured out, okay?
Yeah.
There's going to be some, but my question to Sox fans and to you is this, and that is it a more watchable product knowing you have good young players coming along that might not be ready yet, but might be the next really good Chicago White Sox team?
You know, there was an interesting moment in the game last night, the very end of the game. It may have been the only interesting part. You had to stick around to have seen it. But Edgar Caro did get his first big league knock. He doubled down the line. He drove in a run, and then the game ended. And watching CHSN, as Caro made his way back to the dugout, he got hugs from the entire team, really going down the line. Guys were very supportive to celebrate his first big league hit. And it was interesting to see that in what was such a lopsided game, but I thought that it kind of, you know, it painted a picture of what the White Sox are making their way through. They're 4-15, but Chase Meidroff got his big league hit, right? That's been something to tune into. Watching Shane Smith be a surprise and get up on the mound and actually deliver, and then Edgar Caro last night. But we will ask you, 312-644-6767. We're going to run a lot of phone calls. We'll talk Cubs. We'll talk White Sox. But we kind of went into the path of expectations for the White Sox of this season, Bruce. So let's go there right now. Tony is on the road, had some thoughts on that. Hey, Tony, what's going on? You're on Inside the Clubhouse.
Oh, well, hey, guys. Well, first of all, Bruce, I can't believe you're telling Sox fans, me as a Sox fan, that I'm going to have to go through the pain to watch players who have potential.
I'm not telling you that, Tony. Tony, what I'm telling you is, you don't have to watch it. You have to decide if you want to watch it. But the reality is there. That's what you're going to be watching this year.
Okay, so here's my take. First, I'm not going to watch them because, as I told your screener, I feel like I'm back in 1969, the whole kind of environment where it's all Cubs. And as a Sox fan, you're just like, it's just dismal. And I won't watch a game until this team is sold. Not ever again. And as far as Luis Robert is concerned, this guy, no one will convince me that he's not tanking on purpose because you don't have that much talent and suck this much. It's just not possible.
Tony, tank so, him. Tank. How would tank benefit him?
I don't know. That's a good question. All right, well, then, if he's not playing below what he's capable of doing, and part of it's not of his doing, then maybe he's just not, then he's not that good of a ball player, then is he? Then every scouting report was wrong, and he's not the best five-tool player that we've seen in years who hasn't lived up to any of his potential.
Yeah. Tony, thanks for the call. Let's talk about Luis Robert Jr. Bruce, as you know, I've had some thoughts on this. And, you know, he should be in a place where, I mean, I can't walk down the street without hearing Sandy Alcantara's name being mentioned as trade bait for the Miami Marlins. And Miami is going to clean up if Alcantara is delivering. We should be having a similar conversation here in Chicago about the White Sox with their most valuable piece. Whatever team needs a big bat, needs an outfielder. You know, you heard Fernando Tatis Jr. mention him a couple weeks ago in the locker room in San Diego. But here is Robert. He not only is hitting 136, he's got an ops plus of 31, and what's considered an average big leaguer is 100. So he's like 70 points below what is average. And Bruce, they've played 19 games. He's rested in two of them. He did not play game 12. He did not play last night, Friday night at Fenway Park. He was not in the lineup last night for the White Sox. I haven't seen anything about an injury.
Well, I'm watching him play on Thursday was the first time that I saw where it had gotten to him. Okay. You know, here's the output for the year. One double and one home run. Okay. You can talk about, you know, slugging percentage and OPS. It doesn't matter. You have one double and one home run, and you've only missed two games all year. I think he was sat yesterday because the game looked indifferent that he was playing on Thursday. Oof. Okay. And I'm a Luis Robert supporter. I think that talent is there, but as Tony said, and very succinctly, I think he spoke for a lot of White Sox fans, I'm not watching this, I'm not going there, because I don't think it's worth my time right now. And Sox fans seem extremely frustrated that there's no point where they can look right now and feel, okay, it's going to be 2026, okay? That's when we're going to be better. There's really no connecting point, Judson, that they feel right now. And I'm the same way. I can't tell, you know, all my years of covering baseball and talking to baseball people and watching it, I can't tell you when the White Sox are going to be good again. I can't. I can just tell you that they've made some decent trades. They brought in some young players. Let's see if they develop or not. We know they all don't. In the case of Robert, as you pointed out to Tony, there would be no point in him not wanting to play hard. Right. If he wants to get out of here,
right.
The only way out is playing your way out of the ballpark.
Yeah. I mean, if he's tanking to want to be somewhere else, that's the worst way to do it.
That's not possible. I know the player has too much pride. I can tell you that it was not a good game that he played on Thursday. Whether he was benched or not yesterday, I don't know.
Well, his pride should be questioned at this point. From last year to what we're watching this year, to what you said about Thursday, to him, you know, a Friday night at Fenway Park, I just, why don't you want to be in the lineup is the question.
We didn't
asking.
Say he didn't want to be. No one said he didn't want to be in the lineup.
Well, I think he would be in it if he wanted to be in it.
No, that's just a theory. Where would you come up with that theory?
Because he's healthy. It's game 19.
So you're saying that
it's
he didn't
April
want to play
19th.
Yesterday. You're saying he didn't want to play yesterday.
No, I'm saying he was okay with whoever decided that he shouldn't play.
Okay, well, that's
what I'm saying.
That's an assumption. That's
it
an
is.
Assumption that
it is. But if he's healthy, why is that not an assumption
because,
I can make?
Maybe Venable saw what I saw and a lot of other people saw, that the effort wasn't really that good on Thursday, okay? Maybe he needed a day off to just look at it.
But he took off
that
game
happens.
12.
I know, but it's about also putting people out there that want to be out there. If he didn't think he was wanting to be out there, maybe he had him sit yesterday. So again, I can tell you, when I talk to Luis Robert, there's no one more frustrated about what's going on than him right now. As to whether, if you look at that lineup, okay, just look at that lineup. And you know, with all due respect to everybody that's in it, is there anybody in that lineup that you have to pitch around other than Luis Robert and maybe Vaughn when he's hitting the ball hard?
No, I mean, I wish I could push
so
back.
So why would
with
you
Vaughn,
why would you pitch? Why would you pitch to them?
Well, they got to throw the ball in the strike zone at some point.
Yeah, to seven other guys,
right?
You know,
right? And it shouldn't matter, but you know, a lot like what's happening on the north side of town, Bruce, where we're watching Kyle Tucker kind of elevate what's happening around him in the lineup. The other thing is happening on the south side of town, where it's just poor at bats beget poor at bats, and especially poor performers and a lack of talent.
Yeah, what you just said, the last thing you said, that's accurate. Okay, you and I will agree on that.
Except for the one guy that isn't in the lineup.
Right, but the one guy who was in the lineup, it was probably not his choice. Okay, that's manager decision on a day. Unless he comes out today and said, you know what, fellas, I didn't play Luis Robert yesterday because he didn't want to play, okay, or he wasn't feeling well, whatever they come up with. Other than that, you know, it's just performance-based. A manager's job, Judson, is also to look at a player and saying, I'm not getting much out of this guy right now. I need him to sit, whether it's game 12 or game 20. I need him to sit and just watch tonight because he's really not helping himself or the team right now.
I don't disagree with that. It is Will Venable's job to get the most out of Luis Robert Jr. so they can trade him, right? And obviously...
That's part of it. The other part is produce...
No, I think that's all of
it. Help your team win. Help everybody else be better around you, right? Try to play some winning baseball with your team. I mean, you see the difference in what one player makes for the Chicago Cubs, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you have very talented players around him as well. But one player can make a big difference. If he's not being pitched to, you know, that's just another story. Again, it's on Luis Robert to get better, find a way to get better, get by this right now.
Yeah, also, Bruce, I would make the argument that what pitcher is ultimately motivated or the most focused or at the best against a White Sox lineup? I think Luis Robert Jr. should maybe be able to beat up on pitching more because there's never anyone on base and pitchers aren't necessarily at their best going up against the White Sox. Like, I know that there isn't someone behind him.
I don't know about that.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
You think that they're taking the White Sox for granted?
No, I just think that constantly Luis Robert Jr. is coming to the plate with no one on base. And if he's right, focused and ready to go, then he should be able to be.
Why would you throw him a good pitch?
Because you're not that worried about what's... First of all, you're probably leading by three or four runs.
I'm just saying at this point, the White Sox offense,
Bruce,
is the
there's
problem.
A lot of
Luis,
good play.
Luis Robert is a part of that offense. We've seen it. Last year, it was no different, okay? The offense was the worst part of the team last year. And it continues to be the worst part of the team this year. They don't produce runs. You saw it even in spring training, they had trouble producing runs. So the young players in that organization will have to come through, and the two Montgomerys, and Teal, and Kiro, those are the guys that are going to have to be counted on to get better and be a part of what the good offense is in the future for the White Sox. It ain't there right now, Judson. Sorry. It's just not there.
I know it's not there, including Luis Robert Jr. in the lineup. 312-644-6767. We said we would run these phone calls. Paul in Valparaiso has been incredibly patient. Hey, Paul, what's going on? You're on Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great win by the Cubs yesterday, and real exciting. And Bruce, you kind of mentioned it. I think this offense, especially with Tucker, is going to keep the Cubs from going in any crazy losing streaks or bad situations like they got into last year. But this bullpen has to be figured out. I just don't get how 2 years in a row they can do this. They say they have a pitching infrastructure and all this things in the minor leagues, and they bring these guys up and they just continue to walk guys and put themselves in bad spots. And I usually don't complain too much about the Ricketts, spending money, but why do they have to wait till July just to say they're going to spend money? They're under the cap right now. And why didn't they overpay for Tanner Scott or Yates? They just can't lose another season by waiting till July to make moves. And right now they're still one game ahead of the Brewers as well as they played.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you. You know, the Dodgers certainly paid heavily to get Scott, and that was key. Judson, they're gonna need another power arm in the pen.
Yeah.
Right now, they're also looking for another starting pitcher after losing Steele. You know, I mean, I don't think you can go halfway. With Hoyer and company going after Tucker, trading some really good young players to get him, young players that are going to be under contract control with Houston for a while. You can't go halfway. So there are resources left.
Right.
And when they use them, it's usually the unfortunate part is usually not April that other teams are trading you their top pitcher or their top bullpen guy because they're not a good team yet. Right. So April's not usually the time you're going to be able to jump on it. I know the Cubs are certainly out there looking and have lists of top fives and bullpen guys and starting pitchers that they're looking at right now. I know that for a fact. And why wouldn't you? But getting people to deal with you, how much young talent you're going to have to give up, those are things you have to figure out as you move on.
And, Bruce, I'm also very curious about how Jed Hoyer will approach this in the last year of his deal. Right, if you're not playing
he's
the long game, if you're not playing
he's
the long game,
win.
You may not be thinking that much about your farm system.
Yeah, well, I mean that's a fair look at it from us on the outside, but the reality is that he's a professional guy. He's not going to trade away his entire farm system to try to win to save his job. That's not Jed Hoyer. That's not the baseball guy I know. That's been with the Cubs for 14 years. He's too well polished, too well thought of to give up everything to try to save his job. That's not Jed Hoyer.
Yep.
So I wouldn't worry about that. I understand the conversation. It's a fair conversation, but I can tell you, they're not packaging Horton, Shaw, and Casey for one pitcher at this point, okay? They're not giving up their top three young minor league players just to get a pitcher that's going to help them win right now. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think they have to be more creative about going after it. And, you know, maybe one of those three is going to be gone in a trade moving up here. It's a well-thought-of farm system. You know, Hoyer and Carter Hawkins have done a good job with that. A lot of teams want their players now. You couldn't say that 4 years ago.
No, you couldn't. And speaking of Jed Hoyer, he's going to have to make some decisions, or whoever is in that chair, about Kyle Tucker and how much they offer. We've got some really interesting sound. Zach Zabeman did a great interview with Kyle Tucker in the pregame on the Cubs radio broadcast, and we'll get to that on the other side. Also, Bruce had a great line of questioning for Will Venable about the White Sox offensive approach. Should Venable have more to offer when explaining his team's struggles? You hear that exchange next. This is Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
He is Bruce Levine. I'm Judson Richards in for David Haw today. A great Saturday, plenty of baseball. The Cubs back at Wrigley Field. Our pregame will begin here at 12:45 as they face up against the Diamondbacks in Game 2 of what have already a wild series. The White Sox, now they are in Boston again for another one against the Red Sox. Did not go well last night. Bruce, I thought that you had a really interesting exchange with Will Venable Thursday. Do you want to kind of set that one up for us?
Yeah, it was a really tough offensive night. And the White Sox, other than the 11 runs they scored against Boston a week ago, you know, they just have been struggling. I mean, it's not a good offense. It's really difficult for a manager to write out a lineup and figure out exactly who is going to be able to produce runs. And now that he's got a couple of new young guys in there, it's probably going to get tougher before it gets better. So I asked him about the hitting approach on Thursday, where a lot of guys were popping up in early at bats and not seeing a lot of pitches. Was he good with it?
This is a loaded question after a team gets shut out, but you know, were you okay with the team's at bats today?
Yeah, I mean, we got to find a way to score runs, you know. I mean, I think the intent is there. These guys are practicing the right way, game planning the right way. We're getting some guys on. We just have to cash it in.
Were you okay with the swings so far today? You know, today what you saw, you know, their approach?
Yeah, we just got to find a way to score more runs.
Some real in-depth analysis he gave you there, Bruce. That wasn't, you know, for me personally, for a team that I'm covering, but more importantly, even just watching a team, you know, if I'm watching that in post game, I'd like to know a little bit more about what he's seeing from his offense and how they can do of what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, put it in context. It's after a frustrating game where he watched his team not have a lot of good swings and not produce, right? But the reality is he doesn't owe me an answer. He doesn't owe the other reporters an answer. But at some point, you know, you need to talk about what are some of those things that you're doing to try to improve, right? How, you know, how are the batting instructors going about it? What type of approach is happening? What isn't? More importantly, what they're not doing, right? And, you know, for a young manager, I think Will Venable is going to be a terrific manager in this league. I think he's a great communicator. But part of the job is learning on the job, talking about what has to be done. And it's not – every young manager worries about, I'm not going to break bad on my players to satisfy your questions, okay? And I believe that's right. However, the questions will continue to be asked as they don't do well. And to have answers for what they're trying to do, not trying to, you know, we're not trying to invent the wheel here. We're just trying to find out some of the things they're doing in order to get a little bit more offense out of their guys.
Right, and I don't think that there's a lot to be gained in coddling your players or shielding them from any sort of criticism.
No, I mean, you don't have to bury them in the media either. We're not asking for that.
Right.
I'm just asking for, you know, what are some of the things that they have to do? You know, I mean, he did talk about, yeah, we're doing the right things in batting practice. What are some of those things? So that's more for pregame. That's more for more work on my part to make sure I get some of those answers out of Will and the rest of the people
there. Yeah, and by the way, if the White Sox are good down the road and they're playing in important games, then their players are going to end up facing a lot more criticism or scrutiny. So shielding them at this stage of the game, and, you know, Will knows what he stepped into, but Craig Counsell oftentimes will say very clearly, yeah, I thought he had some bad approaches. Yeah, that was a terrible play or whatnot. You know,
right.
It's not.
Well, you're talking about manager in year one, manager in year 10.
Right. Right. And a team with expectations and then a team without.
Will's going to be a really good manager. First of all, he's a smart baseball man. He's a good guy to deal with. He's honest with the players. He's got a good support system around him. So he's going to be really good at it. It's just, you know, he's learning on the job just like the players are.
All right, let's go to this audio. This was, speaking of Craig Counsell, there's, and by the way, the lineup is out this morning. John Birdie is a starting third baseman for the Cubs today. It's a little bit of who are we going to get each day, whether it's Gage Workman or Justin Turner or Vidal Brujan. And Counsell even alluded to or admitted the other day, yeah, it's probably going to be by committee. He doesn't necessarily expect someone to go out and earn it. Yeah. They just
Before
don't have
you
those.
Play the sound bite about Shaw, I'll just say this. Moving into this, to help you segue into this sound, the Cubs really have been looking for a third baseman since Bryant left, right? So this is not new, okay? There's nothing new about looking for a third baseman. They thought they had one in Morrell last year. They thought they had one in Paredes last year. The reality is this has been a hole since Bryant was traded. And, you know, Bryant wasn't doing great in 2021 either. But move ahead on where you were going, my friend.
Here's Craig Counsell on Matt Shaw, him being sent down to the minors and working on that swing.
What's your advice for Shaw? What's the organization viewpoint of his ability to hit, and if there's changes that should possibly be made at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think the advice is, like, the best learning moments come when you have adversity, when you have struggles. And so this is an opportunity for you. And it's hard to look at it like that when, you know, you're getting told you're being demoted. But it's an opportunity. The game has told him, you know, he's got some exposure to a different level of baseball, and it's pretty good, right? And he struggled with it. You don't just abandon ship from if your Matt's perspective. You take the information in and you learn from it, and that's what we're going to try to do. And he'll be successful at it.
Have you added your own personal thoughts to some of the mechanics that he might consider when he's doing that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, mechanics are, like, I think it's kind of what we see, so it's the easy thing to speak on. We can always players firm belief players will clean up mechanics as they go in this game, like all of them will. Like the game just forces you to get cleaner with your mechanics, and so that'll happen with Matt. You know, I think just understanding, okay, this is my swing, and then this is what the league tries to do, and then this is what I'm going to have to, like, adjust to. I think he got a really good lesson in that, he'll learn from that, and he'll adjust to that. That's one thing he does really well, is that he takes it in, and he'll adjust. You know, the speed at which it happens, you know, we didn't see it in the, you know, 70 plate appearances, but it'll happen.
Bruce, that was a great back and forth. I enjoyed that. Can we go swing heavy? Can we dive into swings for a minute?
Sure.
Because I think it'd be easy to go, look at the career that Craig Counsell had, and he had a weird swing, and mm-hmm. Matt Shaw's got some unique things going on. The one area for me about Matt Shaw that I find concerning is how low he holds his hands. Because you can get jammed up in there, especially with a high fastball. These guys are riding at 95, 96, 97 miles per hour. And Craig Counsell did that thing where his hands waved above his head. So from a bat pass standpoint, if you go, well, you know, Counsell did odd things, and Matt Shaw's swing is unique. One of the things that concerns me about Shaw's swing is it's kind of the opposite of what we saw of Craig Counsell, that we remember so much of him holding his hands way up high before he lowered them. So he does ultimately have a lot of things to work on.
So Counsell's swing came out of failure as well, okay? He held his hands high so that when he did go through the plane where you have to swing levelly to hit a baseball, it was there, okay?
Yep.
It was a reminder to him and a setup to get to the ball, just like every swing is. And Shaw's is no different. As you said, his hands are lower. He has an extreme leg swing and kick, mm-hmm. okay? And he starts out pigeon-toed. It doesn't really matter how you start out as a hitter, okay? It's, are you getting to the ball? Are you getting your swing through the zone? You know, those are the things that you concentrate on. How you get there or how you look beforehand is really not that important. Now, failure, as Counsell pointed out, will get you to a point where you will make those adjustments, okay? You will learn how to adjust. And the most important thing to remember here as well, Judson, is this. There's an extreme difference between the pitching you see at AAA and in the Arizona in spring training, the Cactus League,
right,
compared to what you're looking at right now.
And okay, with the way they started the season, who they've played specifically, even at the big league level.
No, I mean, you're going to face a really good pitcher every night. And like you said, you're facing some of the best teams in baseball, mm-hmm. not just in the National League, here in the first month. So competing and trying to get good as a young player, it's going to be really hard. And they felt it was too hard for him right now. They're not calling him a failure. They don't think he's not going to be back. Counsell talked about they think he'll be back at some point soon. But again, you know, at this point, it was diminishing results for them and the team. There's two things. The development of the player, very important. Team winning, more important. Okay, so you weigh the two. They did it a lot last year with Pete Crow Armstrong, with Amaya, with Bush, with Morel, developing while they were trying to win. Hardest thing to do in baseball, develop young players and have a winning team at the same time. Very difficult to do.
Yeah, and they somewhat had a plan at third base, but I think we would all accept Kyle Tucker in the lineup instead of Isak Paredes in the trade that they made last year with the Rays. Bruce, I want to make sure that we have some time to get into this Kyle Tucker thing, so we'll do that on the other side. Just a reminder, the Cubs take on the Diamondbacks this afternoon at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage begins at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be on the call for first pitch at 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Another great day out there at Wrigley. Ben Brown will match up against Zach Gallen. It'll be John Birdie at third base today. Speaking of that, that pregame show. Zach Zabin had a conversation with Kyle Tucker. What did he say about working his way through the contract stuff through this season as he approaches free agency? We'll do that next on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, David Hall will be back in next Saturday. Judson Richards in from today. Bruce Levine. We've got Cubs baseball coming your way. Pre-game show begins at 12:45 against the Diamondbacks. Mark Grody will take over next. Let's jump right into this audio. Zach Zabin in the pregame show spoke with Kyle Tucker about all this happening contractually.
I mean, honestly, like, the hospitality over here has been phenomenal, just with the clubhouse people and, you know, the organization and everyone. Like, they're super helpful with anything that you need, and they're on top of it. And obviously, you never know how home clubhouses are until you're on the team, you know? So, I mean, it's been really nice to just come over here and kind of see how everything's laid out. And, you know, I think they did a really good job with the renovations and everything.
What's been the interaction like with the fans here when you're out there and right?
It's been awesome. I mean, they love coming to the games and watching us play. And, you know, we try and go out there and play hard and, you know, win as many games for them. Because, I mean, they'd come out and, you know, pay good money to come and watch us. So we might as well try and go out there and win games and play hard. So I think that, you know, they've been really excited to watch us so far this year. And hopefully we can just continue it the rest of the year.
What has stood out to you about the clubhouse dynamic? Because it's never easy to fit in to a new club, but you've done it seamlessly.
I've played against a good amount of these guys, you know, for a while now, and you know, I think it makes it a little bit easier when you come to the clubhouse. And we have a, you know, decent amount of new guys on the team, so I think in some aspects, you know, some guys are in the same boat, but I think everyone over here has been super helpful and just making it an easy transition when, you know, first come over here, just having some dinners or hanging out and just doing stuff either at the field or off the field has been really nice.
We hear the term championship experience with some of the new guys, including yourself. Tangibly, what does that mean?
I think it's just the consistent work that you do every single day. I mean, as long as you're consistent with that and you're going out there and you're doing the same thing every single day and, you know, trying to put up good at-bats and play hard out there. I mean, we play so many games, it's kind of hard to be consistent. But if you can do that on a daily basis as best you can, I think compounded over the whole season, I think it kind of, you know, will show.
It's funny you mentioned the consistency, because I feel like at the plate, the discipline that you have at the plate, that's been consistent throughout. Who taught you that? Or is that something that just comes with having certain gifts playing baseball?
I mean, I've tried to get better at, you know, the strike zone stuff the last couple of years, and I think I've gotten better each year. And yeah, it was just something I kind of wanted to do, because, you know, I figured, you know, if you're able to lay off some pitches and draw some walks and, you know, get into better counts, your just overall production will be better. So I've just tried to get better at that every single day and every single year, and I think I've done a decent job at it.
Bruce, I mentioned contracts. It somewhat was everything but really contractually, I think you can hear how much Kyle Tucker likes everything else happening around Wrigley Field.
That's a big point. It's a huge point, and it's something that people have to pay attention to. While you're telling the Ricketts to give him $500 million, which would probably be what it's going to take to get Kyle Tucker beyond this year, you also have to figure out, more importantly, does Kyle Tucker want to be here, right? I mean, there's a lot to like about Chicago and Wrigley Field playing for the Cubs, but there are 29 other places in the world to play Major League Baseball. So you have to consider that as well. But a great job by Zach Zaidman, does such terrific work on the Cub pre and post games, as well as play by play when Pat isn't there. It's a joy to be a part of that. I will be again today doing part of the pregame, you know, with my piece, and also post game interview when the Cubs win. And it was a joy doing this show with you, Judson. Let's do it sometime again when my good friend David Haw is not around. We thank great work by Tyler today for producing this show. Also, Matthew Boyd for joining us. Have a great week. Looking forward to more great baseball and better baseball, hopefully for the Chicago White Sox.
See you, Bruce.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.